morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't we go ahead and see who's all with us here this morning. Give me your name and where you're from. I certainly would appreciate it.
This is Ray from California.
Yesterday. Thank you, Wade. Next.
Bonnie, Minnesota.
Bonnie in Minnesota. Thank you, Bonnie. Next.
Joe
from Mary Jane in Oregon.
Joe from?
Kansas.
Kansas. Great. Joe. Mary Jane from Oregon. Next. Well, I'm Monty, and I'm from the good old state of Washington. Good to be here this morning. Mary Lou, if you're here, you feel free to chime right on in. Well, how's everybody doing out there today?
Terrific.
Good. Everybody still excited about the China study and things you're learning?
Yes.
I thought there was something real interesting come across the news of let me jump on here real quick across the news, and it says, now get this, I don't know if you understand this or not. It says, where'd it go? It says vegan. This is the big headlines. Vegan, Kasunich hospitalized for food poisoning. Now, do you get that type of headline?
Because...
Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many people would know that Dennis Kucinich, or however you pronounce his name, was a vegan? Not many people know that, but the media, immediately, that's the first thing they want to do when they come out, because Dennis Kucinich, who is a vegan, a vegetarian, gets hospitalization. I wonder why it wouldn't read in most cases when people, some of these big shots get food poisoning, read, meat eater. Never mind, I'm getting on a soapbox here. Okay. But you stop and think about that. Why would they put vegan there unless somehow, somewhere, and we understand it now in the China study, and we understand it now when all this great information starts coming out, there's so much out there against this type of way of eating because it so interdicts in regards to incomes in a lot of ways of a lot of people. That's the first thing they want to explain. Vegan, Kucinich, hospitalized for food poisoning. I can't wait for the next big one to come out. Well, anyhow, that's my soapbox, and I think you all understand why I said that. Again, because China study proves the point, McDougal proves the point, Esselstyn proves the point. People that are out there that are spreading the word that plant-based is a way to go. It's a lot healthier and everything else. There was also another one in the news here. I don't know if any of you saw this or not. I don't know if I can find it here real quick or not, but it had to do with how they've determined now that they've followed these women for 5 or 7 years that originally had breast cancer, and they've spent over $30 some million in this survey. And the first thing it says that fruit and veggies will not reverse or stop people that had breast cancer from re-getting breast cancer. And in reading the report and everything, and I thought it was kind of interesting, it talked about how they took these, I forget how many thousand women, and they've been following them for 7 years, and they were 53 years of age and older, I think, is how it went. And it talked about how everybody talking about how fruit and veggies are so important in regards to it might be a way of stopping cancer and doing whatever, but in the report, and I'm reading the report, and that's why I wish I could find it, doggone it, I can't do it.
You're right on, though. There's 3,000 women,
Well, as you read down, it talks about how they check those that are eating all these fruit and veggies, but also it stated that, also they continued to eat meat, and their diets were anywhere from 15% to 20% of animal meat, and I thought, now isn't that amazing? They spent $37 million. Here we got the China study. A lot of people understand it. We know a lot of medical professional people understand it. They did this survey, spent all this money, but they did the main thing that would continue to cause the problem, that would not solve the problem, and they continued to eat meat. And then it talked about how that their caloric intake was more than what it was supposed to be during over the higher whole entire study. And I thought that one little paragraph there that says, but there's something about they continued to eat meat anywhere from 15 to 20% of animal flesh. And I thought to myself, right there's the key. If they would have just not had the animal flesh, I wonder what the results would have been if they would have done that test without it. And reading the China study, we all know that that has an awful lot to do with it. So, anybody have any comments on what's been going on so far in your week, or any aha's, or any exciting thing you'd like to talk about right now?
I've got to look at an email that I just sent somebody, because I told her, I said, and I had, and my aha this week was.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to hurry and find that.
Well, we'll wait till you find it, but please, as soon as you find it, let us know, okay?
It must have been something about mental clarity or something. here's my aha.
Go.
As a teacher, well, not just a teacher, but years ago there was a phrase that said, garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
And, you know, this is talking to kids, you know, whatever you read, whatever you're looking at, if you put garbage in, then garbage is coming out of the mouth. And I thought, you know what, that is very true with what we think and what we read and what we take into our brain. But my aha was, with our mouth, it is different. When we put garbage in, garbage stays.
How true.
And collects.
Yeah, it does, and that, you know, when you say the word collect, I don't know, all of a sudden cholesterol just flat jumped into my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, because here again, we all know in reading the China study and the RAVE diet and McDougall's books or whatever it is, your particular reading, you know, it's absolutely amazing how we realize how the body makes, what the liver makes just the cholesterol level that our body needs, and anything else that goes in there doesn't pass out the way that we would like to have it doing, so it goes into the blood system, and it basically collects, just exactly what you said, collects in regards in the inside. Hello, who's this? Oh, but anyhow, collects inside of the blood vessels and creates plaque and starts to line our blood vessels, and then we start to have problems. Thank you for that comment. That really makes total sense.
Okay.
Total sense. Anybody else have anything? Mary Lou, are you here yet? Boy, they must have some. Maybe they got a. Oh, but did y'all listen to the call last night?
Yeah.
The product call? For the corporation?
Yes, I did.
Good, Doctor. Were you excited about what Dr. Naidoo had to say?
Yes.
It is exciting, isn't it? Can't wait till August, I'll tell you that.
Hmm.
Give you any idea what the new product might be?
Hmm, could it start with the letter P?
I don't know.
No.
I have no idea. I know it's coming out from Dr. Naidoo and everything else, and I know he did great for us when he came out with lactoferrin and his comments last night in regards to what lactoferrin is and what it does for our bodies, and how we need it on a daily basis, and how our bodies don't produce lactoferrin, and that the only way that we can basically not supplement it, but get it back into our bodies, and that is to take it through a form of lactoferrin gold 1.8. It was amazing what I thought he said in regards to the amount of volume or the products, how it's being accepted in all 30 countries, and now how it is in all 30 countries, pretty much as far as distribution through NECAN, and I thought that was exciting. He also mentioned that, I guess, Canada, a gentleman came on from Canada and said that they can't get it up there as a gold 1.8, but Dr. Naidoo said that is going to be up there in that area within before too long down the road. So that was exciting what Dr. Naidoo had to say last night, and so I guess what it sounds like for those of you that have a NECAN function on August the 18th, which is our 90-day expo, we'll call it. You might want to try and get to that one, because that's where they're going to introduce the new product that's going to be coming up in the lactoferrin, or in Dr. Naidoo is going to be introducing it at that particular time. So, anybody have anything in the China study that you might want to talk about today?
Well, excuse me, Martin. This is Bonnie Tong in Ohio.
Yes.
Yesterday, I stayed online for about 20 minutes after 9, and it was still no sound of it. I don't know why. Is there the new number for the headquarters call? 1-800-282-9233. And then the pound is 2010 pound.
Yep. That's the one I got into last night. And sometimes what happens if you come in after the time frame, sometimes the line fills up, and I know if I'm a little late sometimes getting in. But what I usually do it on the corporate calls, I usually chime in about quarter till, and I just put my phone on speakerphone and just let it sit there and listen to the music or whatever. And that's the way I made sure that I always get in. So I don't know what the exact reason was, but it was there. It is also is recorded. They record it, and Dr. Bodek said that Ann Bodek said that it was going to be up in 72 hours. Will be on the NECN website. Go into conference calls, and you can pull it up there and listen to it again. Okay.
That's a heads to beat in.
Yep. You're quite welcome. Anybody else have anything you'd like to talk about right now? Mention.
I just have a question.
Nancy.
Was it yesterday's call, or where am I imagining that I heard that since you're talking about lacto, did somebody use that for psoriasis and it really helped pretty quickly? Was it on a call yesterday, or was I talking to somebody?
You know, I don't know. Did anybody on the here admit that mentioned on the call yesterday? I didn't.
I didn't either, but...
But one thing I did hear him say, Nancy, that I immediately, when he said it, I thought of you in regards to our conversation we had a month or so ago, maybe longer, was that he said that when lactoferrin immediately hits the body, that it starts to do good things.
Wow.
So, you know, we were talking about it using it in an oral situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I thought to myself that when he said that last night, I thought immediately of you and our conversation on that.
I didn't get to the call last night, so I don't have to go on. Whether we should be taking it out separately from other things at all?
No. He said just to take it. He says...
And just one day.
Yeah, he says it. Well, he says one a day. He also mentioned that because our bodies deplete about 60 milligrams, I'm going to call it, because let me see what's in ours. 60 milligrams, yeah, okay. That our body depletes it, and that's why it was rated at 60 milligrams. He made it like that so that basically as we deplete it daily, that if we take this on a daily basis, that we're just rejuvenating and putting it back into the body that has already gotten flowed out through tears and other forms of bodies.
Well, when the Ciaga came out, and I think it may have been at the same time, but when Ciaga came out, we were told one for maintenance, two if you were having a possible problem, and you could go up to three if you were really fighting something. Mm-hmm. Did he indicate that you really should be needing more than one a day?
In any of the conversations that I heard, I didn't hear him say that, but I agree with what you just said, and I remember hearing that too. And matter of fact, there are times that I, if all of a sudden I don't really feel too good or whatever, I'll grab maybe two or three lactoferrin and take it. And I'll tell you when I do take extra lactoferrin, and that's when I wake up in the morning and my eyes are very dry and whatever, and I immediately reach over and I'll take two lactoferrin and get two lactoferrin in me right away. And usually my dry eyes don't continue, it usually goes away.
Wow.
The next night or that whatever. And when I wake up again, I don't have that dry-eyed situation. And because, like Dr. He said, you know, lactoferrin is in tears. It's in tears, and it's in our mouth and our nose and everything else. So immediately as something comes in, and that lactoferrin grabs a hold of it and then passes it right on through the body. So I believe that if it's in tears, I want to put it in my tear ducts or my eyes or whatever, and hope it just gives it better lubrication, and that's the reason I do it. Does it work? Works for me.
Wow.
You know, I'm not, you know, if any of the people having the problem, I would strongly suggest you try something like that.
Interesting.
You know, And when I, you know, and I, the lady was on there last night, and she even talked about how, he talked about her dog. Her dog had some sort of a cancer situation, I think it was a lung cancer situation or whatever. And Dr. Naidu said, yeah, he said, as far as animals go and everything else, matter of fact, he says he has a dog, and he gives his dog, every day. He gives his, I think it was every day or three times a week or, mm-hmm. Does anybody remember what he said about his dog?
I didn't write notes on that part.
Okay, okay, great. Okay.
Interesting, okay.
One last thing about lactoferrin. The other thing, this is one note I took. I don't know why there's comfort in that, but he said lactoferrin knows how to switch on and switch off.
So it's like adaptogenic?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he definitely said that. He called it everything you could think of last night. I mean, the things that lactoferrin did. And I've always believed it. You know, that was when I had my problems way back when I got on lifestyle. That was the first product when I had all my misery and all my medication and discomfort and everything else. That was the first product that I got back on, that really helped me. I felt really, really helped me because, in the conditions that I had with my joints and discomfort and everything else. And I've been on that lactoferrin continually, and some, like I said, in some days I take more than one, because I know, here's one thing I do know about our body. Our body will only absorb whatever it is we put in, the amount that it needs. Excess is normally flushed through the system. Okay, and that's why sometimes a lot of people, I can remember when back in my other days when I used to take other nutritional products other than Nikin, is that I would, when I would urinate after taking it an hour or two or whatever, I would get this real strong, yellow color of my urine. And I noticed when I started taking Nikin, got involved in Nikin and started taking Nikin's stuff, that didn't really happen as much. That color and what that told me again was that basically what was in Nikin products and everything else was the right amount, but also that my body was absorbing it the way that it needed to absorb it. You know, we find that so true with food right now, and listening to the rave and the China study and everything else, that if we give our body what our bodies need, it will basically absorb it. Now, I'm learning an awful lot about the liver, you know, and how the liver basically works. And here again, particularly with cholesterol, it just, when I found out about that cholesterol, and I've watched them pull cholesterol out of veins, you know, Dr. Oz has done it on the Oprah show, and I've seen other doctors that have actually cut vein and show the white cholesterol that's inside of those veins. And I forget where I heard it, or maybe it was Dr. McDougall's DVDs or whatever, but when he explained how the situation was that extra cholesterol that gets in our body just basically coats inside of our blood vessels, and if the only way we're getting extra cholesterol in our bodies is through animal products, okay, then it just made common sense to me. A guy that didn't do too good even in high school says that if you want to lower your cholesterol, then you quit putting cholesterol into your body. And if that comes in animal protein, then through the form of milk and meat or whatever, dairy products or whatever, and flesh, then if I stopped it, then my cholesterol level has to drop. And it was absolutely amazing, you know, and I don't take a PhD or a 4-year or 6-year college education to figure that one out as far as I was concerned. Anybody have any comments about anything so far? I guess Mary.
I've got a question for you. About lactoferrin switches on and switches off. There was a click on my phone, and you said, oh, that's because it sounds like a macro or a micro, and I don't know what you said.
No, I don't think I said anything like that.
Well, I thought her name was Nancy.
I said adaptogenic.
Oh.
Like the CI.
Adaptogenic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Hope we got that clarification. Well, I'm going to jump into something here real quick. It's called the Rave Diet and Lifestyle Book. And you know, I've heard over this last week that we was talking to a lot of people saying, well, what do I do and how do I cook meals and you know, and what do I do and everything else. And on page 78 of the Rave Diet book, it says, this is the three, we're talking about fast meals, okay? In other words, fast foods, meals in minutes and so forth. And step, it says three-step quickie. Here's the first step. Cut up assorted vegetables or buy pre-cut and saute or stir fry them in water or a vegetable broth. Cook over medium heat. 2. Stir in your favorite seasonings and sauce, such as tomato sauce, black bean sauce, curry sauce, Thai sauce. Then it says see seasoning in sauces. And the third thing you would do to make a real fast meal is just serve it on a bed. And somebody had talked about this also on the calls this week. But serve it on a bed of favorite filler, a favorite filler food like brown rice or potatoes or things like that. And, you know, that's kind of, last night, that's what I had. I based my main meal last night around mashed potatoes. And we cooked up some peas, and I added some peas to it, and I have a no-fat, no-oil, no-sugar-added dressing, and I poured that over it, kind of like a layered it, and whatever. And that was my main meal last night, and along with a nice good-sized salad prior to that. So, you know, and I'm finding that it's so easy for me, a person who doesn't like to, I'm not a Shar Rogers, I'll tell you that. You know, if I look for a menu, I kind of look for a menu in the way that Shar reads labels. If it's got more than 5 steps in it, forget it. If it says boil potatoes or cook rice or mash beans or do whatever, I kind of like those kind of menus. But that's kind of neat, and it was kind of exciting where it talked here about, you know, like a vegetable soup, And one of the things I guess I got out of this book, the Rave book in particular, and that is that if you or your family have certain types of foods that you really enjoy and really like, then that's what one of the first things you should do as you go into this change of menu or change of diet, and that is to try to take those meals that you already really enjoy, and I know I kind of think we're all a lot alike a little bit, and that is that we only have certain kind of things that we cook, and I'm not going to say we get in the rut, but that's just where we or our families are. We just like certain types of foods, and like, you know, whether it be spaghetti or do whatever, and it's just so easy to modify those towards a plant-based and to eliminate that, I'll call it meat or protein out of it, animal protein out of it. It's like the other night I had spaghetti, whole wheat spaghetti, Ezekiel spaghetti, and I got spaghetti sauce, and I put, with no meat in it whatsoever, and I put in added some extra mushrooms to it. Matter of fact, I even chopped up some broccoli and put some broccoli in it also and stirred that up along with my spaghetti, and I thought it was a wonderful meal, you know, and I didn't miss the big chunks of meat or the hamburger or whatever else that I normally put in it. Go ahead.
This is Way. I'll give you some idea of what to eat. I have not opened the recipe for the last month and a half. But anyway, this is how I would do things. Say, something in my house that we often do for kids was, you know, the root, different root vegetables. I just say root because there's a variety. You can chop it all up and everything. And when you do cook it, you say you do extra. So you take out some that's just right in already, so then you have some left over, so then that night you can have that soup, and next day, the batch that you have, you can do 2 or 3 things with them. You know, you can have that, add different things, seasoning for salad, and then the other way, if you like Indian food, that kind of curry type flavor, you can add those in, so you are making so many meals out of that one batch that you make, so you actually are saving a lot of time, this is the third time last night I had that, but I did a variety of it, so it tastes completely different again. And what I do, for instance, I went to a restaurant for lunch on Sunday, and I had some Thai, and I actually asked, because Thai, actually traditionally they eat a lot of vegetables, just when they come out here, they tend to add a lot of meat for the Caucasians. I just asked for a menu, pretty much. You know, and then take home, and then you can just do
variety. Mhm. And that's the other thing too. One of the things they talk about when they eat out a lot, the people that like to eat out or eat out, whatever, and that's to eat culturally. In other words, when you go to a particular fine restaurant that's more so than American type restaurant that cooks lots of fat and all they have to offer is steaks and all that kind of stuff, and that's go to a cultural type of a restaurant. Like you said, Chinese, Thai, or whatever, You know, even talk about Mexican restaurants, how you can go there and you can ask for beans instead of the refried beans that you normally would get, which have a lot of oil in them or lard in it, that you can actually ask them to, because they have whole beans. And the reason I know this to be true is that my niece, well, not my niece, my niece's daughter graduated from high school, and we went to a Mexican place afterwards, a restaurant afterwards, and one of the girls ordered the whole beans, you know, have brought instead of the refried fried beans or whatever. So that again verified to me that what I'd heard on this call, I think, was that you can go to a Mexican restaurant and you can actually order that. They will actually mash your beans for you rather than the way that they normally do. So thank you, Wade, for that comment. I certainly appreciate that. Anybody else have any other comment? One of the things I'd like to say is that I know and I have gotten the new McDougal cookbook from Dr. McDougal, and they have over 300 delicious ultra-low-fat recipes in it. But one of the things that kind of impressed me was, and Oshard talked about it a little bit yesterday, I think it was, and that's that, you know, sometimes people don't like to make up recipes and this and that sort of stuff, and that, you know, you can use canned beans and certain things. And the thing I liked about McDougal is that he has basically a list of things that you can actually purchase in the stores that are considered to be within the guidelines of a vegetarian or a vegan. And that matter of fact, that list runs from page 42 to page 69. And it has, if you had substitutes, in other words, if you were looking for jams and jellies and syrups, it has some name brands of products that are in here that he's kind of looked at in his wife, and particularly his wife, Mary, who really does all the cooking and everything else. She's a wonderful lady in the way she puts things together. And she really realized, you know, that a lot of times when people make changes in their diet, that try to keep it as simple as you possibly can. And that's why, you know, when you go to change your diet from your family, I think if most families probably, if all of a sudden somebody said, well, this is the way we're going to eat now from this point on, that they would probably get a lot of rebellion. But if you can kind of smooth it in there slightly, and eventually down the road things happen. And the other thing I've really noticed too, that I've heard, I think Shar mentioned it, maybe it was maybe Nancy or somebody said something yesterday, and that was how our palates change in regards to the taste of food and everything else as we go on and we get more involved in this. And I find that to be true. I find that I don't miss all the stuff that I thought I would probably miss. Of course, you know, we all have health issues and whatever, and we all want to be as healthy as we possibly can, so it's wise to get it that way. Does anybody else have anything you'd like to say before we go ahead and close her off here on Thursday?
I have a question about that recipe.
I'm kind of following Dr. McDougall's diet. He has it's a no-fat, no-oil type of a program, and I've chosen to head that way. But there is that book that is available. You can get it from Amazon.com or somewhere like that. I have there's also the one on Focus on Growth, the China Study, the Rave Diet. I think there's a vegan student handbook on that one, or a vegetarian, whatever it is.
I've gotten those for Monty. I was just wondering about the one you're...
Yeah, I got this one from, I think it was Borders is where I picked up this particular book, and it's called The New McDougal Cookbook.
Okay.
And by John A. McDougal and Mary McDougal.
Yeah.
And that kind of helped me out because I really like he had a 10-day maximum weight type situation, and I've done that. And he's really heavy into starches, such as making your main meal around starches, such as potatoes, rice, those type of foods. Okay? Anybody else have any questions? You can also get him, matter of fact, you can order him right off his website, which Monique Shar said yesterday was drmcdougall.com. A lot of good information on there. Matter of fact, if you wanted to, I'm trying to think where I can go get to those situations that I talked about, all those foods that he recommends. It's also on his website. There's a lot of free information on Dr. McDougall's website that that's one of the things I honed into right away, was I could go in there and did a lot of my research and listening to a lot of good things in there. But and that's the ones that the Dillmans that were with us on Monday, that's where they were. They lived right at Santa Rosa, where he has his big health center down there. And that's who they had followed for, I think it was 3 years down there, and seemed to be very, very pleased with the results that they were getting from his teachings or whatever.
So you're finding that you can still lose weight on the starches?
Oh, we don't have the time this morning, but maybe I can talk about it tomorrow a little bit. But I'm telling you, being a diabetic, you know, and I still am, even though I've got it under control, that's one of the things I was always told to stay away from. Stay away from starches and everything else, because it would blow your and in the old days, and I mentioned this the other day, and I don't know who it was to, but I'm amazed that now when I eat my starches now, like spaghetti, you know, if I had any kind of a pasta before, whether it even be whole wheat, it would actually spike my levels. I would just blow me right up into 300s real easy as far as my blood glucose goes. And I was amazed when I started this and eating this particular way, and I did. Now, I did it cold turkey. I had to do it because that's the way I do things. That's my kind of personality. That's the way I am. I got to do it cold turkey. That I was amazed that in eating that way, I did not get those spikes. And it just literally blew my mind, because I always check my blood. I mean, and that's always one of the ways I've always eaten, and to know which foods are good for me or not, and that is to have a particular type of food, which would be a main sort of an issue, like I did last night with the potatoes, and then check my blood 2 hours later. Now, you're always going to get a spike within a two-hour time frame easily after you insert any food into your mouth. Whether you're diabetic or you're not a diabetic, you're going to get a spike. It's just in diabetics, it just seems to be a bigger spike than it is in most people, but you'll always get a spike. But I didn't find that big, humongous spike like I normally do. And then naturally, then as your body takes over and gets the insulin in it, if you're a non-diabetic, then it brings that back down to your pancreas, releases the insulin, and it gets back in there, and it brings you back down to normal pretty fast. But I was absolutely amazed at what I am not, what my blood sugars are not doing where I'm eating all these starches and everything else. Literally blows my mind.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's because of, I know this sounds crazy, but the way I kind of think about it, if I'm eating like that now and I'm not getting those spikes, what am I not eating with the meat, those kind of meals before that I used to get my spikes? Well, when I'd have spaghetti, I love meat. I used to have spaghetti and meat and everything else right in that, you know. And I sit down to a meal. I always had a protein. I always had some sort of animal protein in a meal. It wasn't a meal to me if I didn't have something for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You know, and now that I don't have that, I don't get those spikes. It almost says to uneducated Monty that, geez, Monty, could it be the combination of protein and carbohydrates like that together, that the combination does something that makes it react differently for my body? I have no idea. Honestly, I don't. And I'm going to be seeing, and I'm going to get some of these questions answered from, particularly from Dr. McDougall, but whatever. So, anybody else have any questions?
Marty, this is Mary Jane.
Cool.
I'd like to spell it for Dr. McDougall's website.
it's Dr.
Uh-huh.
mcdougall.com.
Okay.
Now, one of the things I want to say, if people like to get free things and do whatever, one of the places you might want to go when you get in there, on his front page, there is about halfway down in his front page, it says e-lectures. It says all of the McDougall presentations from their fabulous DVDs are now downloadable individually. There is it, and it says try. It says marketing milk and disease free. There's a DVD, and I think it's about 40 some or 50 some minutes. If you click on that and download that, that is a free, get this, free information in regards to milk and disease and how he particularly feels about it, along with Dr. Campbell, because Dr. Campbell mentions Dr. McDougall in the China study. And then there's a lot of other places you can go on there, and I'm trying to find that list of where it shows the food that you can substitute for different types of things, and I think that's what we're looking for. If we've got to eliminate this, then what do we substitute for it? Well, he's got some great ideas in there, and whatever, but I really am getting a lot of great information in regards to that. There's a lot of information out there. It's just who you want to choose to, I guess, kind of be your mentor in regards to this new way of thinking and a new way of eating, and just Dr. McDougall, in my mind, you know, along with, you know, Campbell and Esselstein, these are the leaders of this of our, I will call it a movement, of trying to educate people for better health. And like Char talked about yesterday, and I think Lynn was on the call with her, or maybe it was Jeannie, who was talking about how we've got to learn to take control of our health, and anything we can do. Excuse me, you've got something in my throat here. Hang on a second. Excuse me. Anything we can do to learn a little bit more that would possibly help us in regards to it, and then get that information and make a decision. Where do I want to go with this information? Is this something that I really want to jump behind 1,000%, or is this something I'm going to get into? And see, my whole point, it doesn't matter how a person gets into it. I don't care if they do it slow, make this changeover slow, or whether they jump right in or whatever. The idea is to make the change. You know, make the change, and then think about where you were 6 months ago, where you are now, but where are you going to be 6 months from now if you continue to feel and eat the way that you're eating? And I just, you know, I get a lot of that teaching in regards to network marketing. You know, it's the same thing. Some people get into network marketing and go gung-ho overnight and build humongous businesses. Other people, it takes a lot of time. The point is, the goal can be reached no matter what level or what path you choose to take it and how long it takes you to get there. You can attain that same level. It's a lot of us get distracted along the way, do whatever, and life jumps up in the way. But, man, when we're talking about food and we're talking about our bodies, you know, if I can see value in making a change, and I'm so glad that Shard started talking about the China study and got some of us to read it and just made just common logic sense to me. I mean, how can you argue with that many million, billion people in the world and look at those that don't eat our American diet and don't have the diseases that we have? It's just gotta make sense. So make the change, and however you make it, I don't care. Who it cares to should be you. And I know, I'm sure that it does, or you wouldn't even probably be on these calls. So what I'm going to do, I forgot to even mention why we're here, and I'd like to, but I'm going to close off the call for now. I thought Mary Lou would be with us. She's got always got some great ideas and great information. And I'm wondering if there isn't a diamond thing going on today over to Ruth's. I think maybe that's where everybody's at. But anyhow, I'd just like to thank everybody for being here, particularly those of you that have signed up for the Study Pilot Group. Those of you that are guests or not even signed up yet but do contribute to this call, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for doing that. Your information is very, very important. Any question is very important, because I know when we ask questions, there are people out there that have the same question but may be afraid to speak up or do whatever. But I'd just like to thank each and every one of you for being here. I'll be here again tomorrow, and we'll carry on the conversation. And if you have any questions, why don't you go ahead and write them down today when you're thinking about them or whatever, and by golly, we'll try to get them answered, because I know there's a lot of good people on this call that have a lot of knowledge in regards to possibly getting your questions answered, and we'll do the best we possibly can. So I'd like to thank any guests that are here with us today for being here. I'd like to direct you to the person that invited you to this call. If you have any questions, you can get with them, get them answered. And this call is on Monday through Friday, every morning, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Here in the Northwest, whatever time frame is, I'd just like to thank each and every one of you. Have a great day. Stay excited. And know that any time you make a change, and that change is for the better, good things will happen. We'll talk to y'all later. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Monty.
You betcha.
Bye.